the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Good morning, I'm Josh Nunn.
And I'm Crystal Kessler.
Today we're going to be talking about home ownership. So there's a couple of things that we do want to discuss, but one of the things in particular that I think would be interesting is to look at the different generational cohorts and the home ownership percentages. I know this is different across multiple different generations. So Crystal, I think you have some stats on that. Why don't you tell us where each generation compares?
Right. So in 2021, the millennial homeownership rate stood at 48.6, which was actually up 30% from 2011. But despite these steady increases, millennial homeownership still lags much of the older generation. So when you look at Generation X, who's ages 41 to 56, the homeownership rate there is over 20% higher than millennials at 69.1%. And then you look at the next silent generation, who's ages 76 and up, their homeownership has dipped recently, but still stands at 78%. And finally, the nation's highest ownership, which belongs to baby boomers ages 57 to 75, they came at 78.5%, which is just crazy, the differences.
Clearly, there's a trend that older generations typically have higher rates of home ownership. And I think we'll get into some of the reasons why that might be today. But it probably would be a good idea, even before we get into some of the things that we want to talk about, some tips that we can leave you with if you do own a home, and some tips for those that don't own a home yet. Maybe we can give just a brief overview of where we were just a number of years ago. Crystal, do you want to start us off?
Right. So just, when you look at 2020 and 2021, we were at record low interest rates. We saw interest rates at around 2%. 2.5%, which is just ridiculously low when you look at the past, when baby boomers were buying and the percentages were far, far more. We're still historically low. But as of right now, because the Fed has been, increasing interest rates, we're at the highest mortgage rates that we've seen in years. At one point, the interest rate spiked above 5% in the last couple months for the first time in a decade. And now, though, the average rate of a fixed 30-year loan did fall to 4.99% today, according to Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey. But still, when people see 5% as of right now, they're really trying, the affordability of these homes, especially with how much housing has skyrocketed in the last 2 years, is just crazy to, swallow. And the affordability just has become so difficult. But Josh, do you want to kind of go into where we are now as far as housing market and housing indicators?
Absolutely. And maybe just a few statistics that might blow your mind, something you can bring up at the dinner table this weekend. But housing is at a very extreme point. There's a lot of indicators that we follow in the economic world and in the financial world, but just to share a few of them. We talk about housing starts or new homes being created. The growth rate is close to negative territory. Mortgage rates, like you mentioned, Crystal, are the highest we've seen since 2008. This is interesting, but the annual mortgage cost is actually up almost 80% in less than 12 months. This has been a huge component of slowing demand for housing because it ties directly into affordability. And speaking of affordability, the Housing Affordability Index is actually the least affordable since the 1970s. Housing valuations are higher than they were in 2006 and 2007 prior to the housing bubble. There's also an index called the Good Time to Buy a House Index. It is the lowest level in over 40 years. Another statistic, mortgage applications are near 22-year lows. I was actually reading some of JP Morgan's earnings results just recently. They reported that their revenues from new mortgage fees are down close to 70% this year alone. Mm-hmm. There was another statistic, I thought this was interesting, but of people who have had to move back in with their parents, 40% of those individuals cited financial issues and high housing costs as the number one reason for doing that. So overall, where we are now is an extreme area, an extreme time in the housing market. Overall, it's a great market if you own a home or are trying to sell your home. It's a tough market for first-time home buyers or investors looking to acquire, more property at this point in time.
Yeah, and just to throw in kind of a personal experience, my husband and I just bought our first home together. I originally had a condo, but then we sold that, ended up buying a home this year, and it was so difficult because over the last 2 years, housing has increased double digit returns. So even the last month that we were looking to buy a home and putting in offers, I mean, the amount of housing or houses that we lost, just because of multiple bids and whatnot. And then also just how fast the prices of homes were rising. Within a month, we were priced out of a bunch of different areas that we were even looking at because it was skyrocketing the prices. So it is really, really difficult buying right now.
And that's a story I've heard countless times from many of our clients purchasing a second home, purchasing a primary home, an investment property is being priced out of some of these cash offers.
Yes. And one crazy thing is, I mean, when we were looking, we finally settled in May. But as of right now, I mean, we have a house down the street that when we were bidding, everything was 10 to 15% over asking. Now we have housing just on my street alone. There was two homes up for sale. The one next to me went for actual asking, and the one down the street from me has been on the market for over 4 years. So, I mean, that kind of leads us into Josh. I mean, where do you think the market is headed? Do you think we're at a turning point? What have we seen here? I know we had Sarah Lindsay in, who we actually, Jim did a podcast with earlier this month. So we'll definitely link it to this podcast. But she's a mortgage broker here in San Diego, and she shared some stats with us about the housing market in general. And Josh, would you like to kind of give us a brief overview of what she had told us?
Yeah, it was super interesting. She gave a presentation kind of the San Diego housing market here in Southern California. And it's very tight. And we've noticed this kind of across the nation. What we're seeing are these geographical pockets where supply is very tight, but there seems to be quite a range. I mean, San Diego is a great example. So, I mean, the average supply of housing. So, when we talk about supply of housing, there's a typical indicator called the months supply of housing, and it looks at how many months a new home for sale would last on an open market. So, under 5 months normally indicates kind of seller's market, and over 7 months indicates a buyer's market where, supply is very robust and there's plenty of homes to go around. So, nationally speaking, monthly supply is around 9.3 months right now. So we're very much actually nationwide in a buyer's market. And this is very typical kind of a late stage maturity in a housing cycle. And these, we typically don't see housing supply this high without preceding a recession. If you look back, going back to the 1960s, there have been almost seven times where housing supply has surpassed 9 months. And every time this has happened, except once, there has been a recession that's taken place. But if you look at San Diego, for example, average supply of housing is 1.5 months. So this indicates, at least for those that live in Southern California, an extremely tight market for buyers. And this is also very indicative of, we're just seeing a lot of money chasing too few homes. If you look at the number of houses that have been started and built over the last 5 years, it is historically low. And so, what we're in right now is very much a supply-driven issue. But as we transition, Crystal, I know there was a case study we wanted to mention. There were some clients that we recently worked with. We've changed their names for this podcast, of course. But we'll call them Henry and Lisa. They are a married couple, ages 34 and 35, in the 22% tax bracket. And in our case, they were pre-approved to buy a condo for $600,000. They ended up purchasing a two-bedroom, two-bath condo for $518,000. I'm guessing it was not in San Diego. That would have been close to $1 million. But it made their total monthly payment, after closing costs and whatnot, about $28.92 a month. So, Crystal, do you want to kind of go into this case study and, the benefits of home ownership versus renting?
Yeah. So one of their biggest questions when we were kind of going through the plan with them was, is it better to rent this same two bedroom, two bath apartment, which is around, it was around 25, 55 a month, or do we move forward with this condo that's going to cost us about almost 2,900 a month? So we ended up putting it within our plan, and then we used our tax planning software. And what you can do as far as benefits of homeownership is, the big draw to it is you can itemize. So they had the chance of, if they were going to end up going with renting, then they take their standard deduction, which in 2022 is 25,900, or they could itemize. So we went through to calculate what would be interest paid in the first year, because when you itemize, you can itemize your interest paid on your mortgage, your property taxes. You can also, the first year that you buy a home, you can write off your points. But to just keep it simple, we took the interest paid in the first year, or what it would equate to based off of what they were paying for principal and interest, which was around 20,561. And the property taxes on that specific condo was around $540 a month. But with property taxes and state taxes, there's that SALT deduction, which is maxed out or capped at 10,000. So with the interest paid at $20,561, and then $10,000 cap, we had an itemized deduction of $30,561 versus their standard deduction, which would have been the 25,900. So that gave them a total tax savings of $1,030, right? So then we go back to, would it be better to rent? Because renting was actually over $300 cheaper a month. So by renting, they would have actually saved $4,050 a year. However, when you look at principal that you're paying down within a house, and the tax savings that you can acquire with homeownership, the forced savings just to pay down principal alone was going to be a little over $6,000. And then you add in that $1,000 of tax savings, that's automatically $7,138 that you're forced to save each year versus renting at that $4,050 savings. So as you can see, I mean, just in forced savings alone, it's already better off owning the home for their particular situation.
And that's very true. I would say that homeowners would know this well, but if you owned a home any of the last 5 years, you own an appreciating asset. So
Yes.
your equity, is only growing.
Exactly. And I mean, that is just even one other benefit of renting versus owning. The other thing, which was nice to kind of go over with the clients, was, once you lock in that principal and interest payment, it's now fixed. That's not going to change. Yes, maybe your property taxes will increase, but as far as principal and interest, that's locked in. Whereas when you look at the average rise in rentals, just in as far as California is concerned, if you looked at the average annual rate of increases between 1940 and 2020, it increased on average a little over 3%. But then when you look at averages nationwide, rental rates actually increased over 8% per year since 1980. So you can see that over time, especially if you're going to live at your place for a while, generally speaking, if you buy a home, you want to live there, 7+ years to make it worthwhile. But that's something that's going to be locked in for you over, your 30-year term.
It's pretty tough out there because another thing that we're seeing, another, I would say, consequence of having, some of these real estate markets geographically with very tight supply is we're seeing buyers get pushed into the rental market because there is nothing to buy.
Yes.
So this is just making it all the more harder for people that are still renting because they're seeing their rents go up.
Yes, astronomical, and especially just in the last 2 years alone.
So, Crystal, what are some tips that people may want to know if they own a home currently?
Yeah, so this is something that anyone who owns a home, even if you've had it for a while, years in, one huge tip is to make bi-weekly payments of exactly half of your mortgage payment every 2 weeks. So by doing this, it actually takes advantage of the full year. So instead of making 12 payments over a year, you're making 26 payments, which actually equates to paying a whole extra month within a year. And by doing this, so we actually recommended to Henry and Lisa to, do these biweekly payments because they could actually reduce their loan payments by 4.74 years or 56 months. So instead of having the mortgage all 30 years, we're actually cutting that by 4.74 years. So not only are you saving an interest, you're also, saving over the lifetime of your loan. The only drawback to that is certain mortgage providers, they don't allow biweekly mortgage payments or they'll have a fee associated with it. So with my previous condo when I was with PennyMac, they actually did not allow any extra payments at all. And then now with where my mortgage is now, they actually do allow multiple payments throughout the month. So definitely going to take advantage of that to kind of decrease the overall, payments that I'm going to make over my lifetime.
Right. I was actually not aware of this biweekly payment that was possible. But we should probably also mention too that this, was a great strategy for Henry and Lisa in this case, but it may not be the appropriate solution for every client, of course. But yeah, if you have a client situation, if we, run into a situation where, somebody's wanting to get out of debt faster, or they have some extra cash flow that they would like to pay down some of their debt without maybe making extra mortgage payments, they can make that biweekly payment that ends up saving them an interest down the line.
Exactly. And then, Josh, do you want to talk about reviewing homeowners insurance policies and what clients should look for there?
Yeah, I would say as a second tip, if you do own a home, it's always a good idea, I think, to review your homeowners insurance policy. Many times I've reviewed these policies with clients, and I will find that there is certain language that describes maybe not the replacement cost, but if there is a claim or there's destruction of the property or if something happens, the insurance company will replace the market value or the cash value of the property. And appraisers these days, might be trying to appraise a house at a lower value than you might be wanting. But if you work with your insurance provider to change that language to replacement cost, we are all well aware, especially if you've worked with contractors and you've done some home renovations over the last few years, that replacement costs have gone up. In fact, materials and goods, especially for home building, have all gone up dramatically. So changing that definition on your homeowner's insurance policy can actually save you a lot, as well as, reviewing your deductibles. So say that, you have a pretty new home and you may not need, you live in a generally pretty safe area. It could be something where you review your deductibles. Maybe you increase your deductibles so that you reduce your premiums. Things like that can be practical ways to save some extra dollars each month. Crystal, what might be another tip that homeowners want to know?
Yeah, so one thing that I'm a big proponent of is especially when, you own a home and you have that mortgage, just to kind of protect your family, is buying a term policy anywhere from 20 to 30 years. It's so cheap when it comes to term insurance. And this is something that, God forbid, something were to happen to you, your spouse or heirs don't have to worry about a mortgage payment. I personally, when I had my condo, I bought a $500,000 30-year term policy when I was 27, and it was around $30 a month. So just to have that peace of mind knowing that I'm not going to leave any debt to my heirs was worth every penny. So I definitely recommend when it comes to, covering that mortgage, because especially at the, first couple of years, having whatever, your down payment or your whole loan is in general, having your heirs having to worry about that if something were to happen to you is, kind of a tough pill to swallow. So I definitely recommend looking into some term life insurance if you do are in that situation.
That's great. Yeah. And there are different kinds of term policies out there. I know there's decreasing term, which will, it will decrease the amount, the face value, as your mortgage gets paid down. There's any number of options for life insurance if you're looking to, protect your heirs or even your spouse, so that they're not left alone carrying the burden of a mortgage if you were to pass away suddenly. One last tip I might suggest to you for homeowners is taking advantage of itemized deductions. These are easy ways. I would review them with your CPA or your accountant, but easy ways to write off some of those personal expenses, especially, your mortgage expenses and property taxes. These are the core benefits of owning a home, are the tax benefits. So reviewing with your accountant, making sure that you're getting all the possible deductions, including, if you recently bought a home, knowing that you might be able to write off points paid, things of that nature. So always be checking with your accountant just to make sure that you are taking full advantage of all itemized deductions. And, before we close, Crystal, I also thought it might be good to provide some tips for individuals who maybe don't own a home yet. I know for millennials in general, we mentioned this earlier that home ownership is the lowest among that generation. We also have, a new generation of Gen Zers who are coming to age where they're going to start having to rent and or look for options to buy homes. So, for people that don't own a home yet, what might be some tips that you would leave with them?
So one would be, when you look at the case with Henry and Lisa going with the rental, then it would be really important to save all those dollars between the difference of actually buying the home versus renting. So saving that 300 plus a month so that way you can build up, the down payment for your future home. The other huge thing is depending on, your profession or your situation. James and I, he is a veteran. So we were able to use the VA loan for our house, which allowed us to buy before we actually sold my condo. So that was really nice. There's also benefits when it comes to educators. Maybe you have 3% to 5% versus the 20% down payment that you have to put down, but they get rid of the PMI insurance because you're not putting down that full 20%. There's also first responders programs where maybe they'll help you with the actual down payment of your home with a very low interest rate. So there's all sorts of options that you can look into if you're really serious about saving for a home, buying a home, and what that looks like for you.
That's a great point because I recently learned this, but because my dad was in the military, some 25 years ago, there are benefits that I could have access to because, he's a direct family member. And I just learned about this maybe this year. So again, asking around, asking friends who have gone through the mortgage application process or have gone through the process of buying a home. All of those things, explore all options available, especially when it comes to financing, because that tends to be, definitely, I think, some of the hardest points of the process for new and existing, people who are going through the process of buying a home.
Exactly. Josh, do you have any other tips that you would want to give some future homeowners?
Yeah, I would leave people with two, primarily, one, knowing that, you're your best asset. So reinvesting a lot of energy in yourself, improving your skills, working towards that next promotion, doing everything you can to make more money, to increase your salary, start a side business so that you have the means to save more. Homes are only getting more expensive. That may level off at some point, but overall, we know that homes tend to, increase about 4 to 5% a year. So, we have to be good savers, but we also have to have the ability to save. And that is going to require, investing in our current skill set and working towards, again, next promotions, finding a higher paying job, and trying to leverage ourselves as best as we can. The last thing I would say too is, especially if you're young, continue building good credit. Consistently pay off your credit card balances. Keep your credit utilization ratios very low. Open up a reasonable amount of credit cards so that you can prove to, credit card companies that you're a worthy credit individual. So I would say those are two things I would leave to people who maybe don't own a home yet, but hope to one day. Well, with that in mind, Crystal, I think we're out of time. But until we get back on the podcast, we hope you guys have a great week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.